another episode of Routes Through Pokemon. I'm Karate King Shayalok.
I'm Teacher Ruby.
And together we are a father and daughter duo working our way through the Pokemon series of video games, the Pokemon anime, and the Pokemon Adventures manga. And this week we are back to Gold, Silver, and Crystal with Route 18, where we will be covering the next two gyms in the Kanto region, as well as a little detour back to Johto. But first, let's catch up on what's been going on this summer. Last time I forgot to mention that I did get myself a Switch 2, which has been a lot of fun, playing a lot of Mario Kart.
Yeah, the new Mario Kart's fun. I haven't played many other games on it yet.
Well, it's the only Switch 2 game I have so far, so. Oh. I mean, I have other games I play on there that I hadn't had before yet, but. But yeah, I really like the free roam. I've only done a little bit of that, and
I don't think I've done any of it.
Yeah, probably not. And I really like the courses that, like, they don't end. You just keep on racing till you get to the final course and finish line.
Yeah, that one's kind of fun.
That's a lot of fun. I mean, I like all of it, but yeah, it's been a lot of fun. We've already unlocked, like, the secret course with the Rainbow Road. Like, we did all that. Still a lot of costumes to unlock. Mm-hmm. And besides that, I finally bought It Takes Two, so my wife and I can play that, and that's been a lot of fun for us. And most recently, I received in the mail my copy of Shadow Labyrinth, which intrigued me by the concept that I saw before, but basically it looks like a Metroidvania type game, like it's Metroid style, where you're going through the different areas, but you can backtrack and everything. But you have a little floating companion that looks like Pac-Man called Puck, and there's little spots where you do morph into that character to travel along a specific route, chomping at little monies and stuff and avoiding the bad guys. Because it is Pac-Man. Like, it's a weird dark tale mixed with Pac-Man stuff, and I'm not really sure where we're going with it, but it's been fun so far.
Yeah, I was going to watch you play, but then I ended up playing with my little
sister. Yeah. And then, that means we've also now passed the double community day of Eevee.
Yeah.
And that was a ton of fun for us. We definitely caught plenty, and I now have a shiny every evolution, plus enough to do it again if I really want to, but I might save them in case we finally get some more evolutions.
Yeah, I only played the first day, and then I gave my phone to someone else to play the second day.
Yeah.
But the first day, we were driving, and, like, I was catching a good amount of shiny Eevees, and then I finally got enough, and then, like, as I got enough, I just got shiny after shiny.
Oh, that's right.
Shiny after shiny.
Yeah, we stopped at two different parks, and after the second park, where we did a lot of walking around and catching and stuff, it was on the way out of there going to run some errands that she just wouldn't stop catching them.
Yeah, I've got, like, 20, probably.
And then, actually, just today, we had another community day where we finally got the last of the Paldea starters for community day. So now we have some shiny Quaxleys going on.
Yeah, we got like 6 or 7, I think.
Yep. But everybody in our family that plays Go was able to catch what they wanted. The only one who didn't care and didn't play. So.
Yep.
And that was Flame. And even if he really wants one, some of us have some extra. So.
Yep.
But that's what's been going on with me, with a little bit of you, but anything else for you, Ruby?
I did camp last week, which was a lot of fun.
So if she sounds dead and tired and out of it, it's because of that, and she might be getting sick again.
Yay!
What'd you do at camp?
A lot of things. I got to swim in a lake a bit, but I didn't do too much of that. I got to ride some horses, which was really fun. And
that was your favorite part, wasn't it?
Yes, probably.
I saw some shots of you dressed in like a pink dress with a piratey hat on.
Yeah. Because for evening activities, one of the nights we did a silly song fest. So you make up a skit and you use some of the silly songs from camp. And I got married on a pirate ship.
You're too young.
Yeah.
Anything else?
A lot of fun. I don't know. We sing songs and dance and just all sorts of fun things going on.
It's fun camp things. Mm-hmm. Anything else interesting going on the last month?
We had our 4th of July celebration.
Oh, yeah. Celebrated Rosilla's birthday, as well as other summer birthdays, which, yeah, we always do group birthdays together for some family celebrations, too. And so we group all the summer birthdays together, which includes my wife and Vavai and another one of my boys and me. But I'm usually quite far away from the rest of them, but I still get lumped into the summer birthday. So I get a little birthday teaser before we get to mine.
Yeah, because yours is a few months after.
Yeah. And in just a couple days, we'll finally get to go see Superman, which I'm excited to go see.
Yeah, I'm also excited to see it. It should be fun.
Yeah, it came out a couple days ago, or like a week ago or something, but we'll be seeing it in a few days.
I was at camp, so they couldn't see it without me.
You weren't at camp yet, but it was a busy weekend.
Busy weekend. Then I was at camp.
Yeah.
There was a bunch of advertisements at Dairy Queen. We stopped by there for lunch.
Oh, nice. Yeah, it seems like it'll be fun. And I am a huge fan of the Guardians trilogy, which James Gunn did. And I actually did enjoy his Creature Commandos, which is definitely not as family friendly as Guardians. And his Suicide Squad, I thought was a really good, a fun movie too. So I'm, now granted, all of those have a darker edge to them, like criminals, even the Guardian stuff, you know, where Superman's supposed to be the symbol of hope. So I'm a little worried about how his methods and styles translate over to such a wholesome character, but I'm excited to check it out.
I've only watched the Guardians, but I really like the Guardians movies, so.
But I think that's all we really have now, so let's go ahead and jump into our adventures in Gold, Silver, and Crystal as we continue to explore or re-explore Kanto, except that we don't. We actually decided to hop on a boat and head back to Johto for a little side quest.
We or you decided?
You seemed to, well, I don't know, you seemed interested and excited about it.
I don't remember what we did, so well,
when we were in Saffron, we went to the fighting dojo again. But there was only one guy there, and he said that the Karate King, who was the leader of that dojo before, was now in Johto in some mountain or cave or something.
I did not enjoy going there.
Well, he said he was in a cave somewhere in Johto. So we went back because I remembered that there was a waterfall, so we couldn't finish exploring Mount Mortar, thinking that that could be that, that might be the cave where we might find this Karate King. And I was right. He's there. But on our way back to Johto, that's where we met the teacher with her students down in the bottom part of the ship. So we ran into a new trainer there. We also ran into a trainer that talked about some DJ for the Kanto radio tower, which I thought was interesting because there wasn't a radio tower in Kanto the last time we were there.
They're expanding.
Yeah. And he seemed to really be infatuated with that DJ, although he said that DJ Mary still liked the best or something. So, you remember that?
Yeah. So remember, girl on the radio tower not wanting to go on a date with me.
Oh, and the students down in the bottom part of the ship, they had mentioned listening to the radio at the ruins of Elf, which I think we had heard from somebody else before that. But it just makes, we really should do that at some point. And we probably should have done it before we went back to Kanto, but we didn't. We just took care of Mount Mortar.
I kept trying to. I kept going to the ruins of Alf, and you're always like, what are you doing?
That was a different time. That was a different time.
And so then I come back up.
Anyway, so once we got back to Olivine off the SS Aqua, we set up our teams and flew off to Mount Mortar to begin our journey through. And throughout, there was a decent amount of Geodude and Graveler, at least for me. And then there were a ton of Machop and Machoke, but that's mostly what you found.
Yeah.
In fact, you didn't even believe me that there were rock Pokemon at first because you were only finding Machop and Machoke. You're like, what are you talking about?
There are no rock Pokemon, what?
But of course, Machop and Machoke really increased my confidence that the Karate King was somewhere nearby.
I already thought you knew, so I was like, yeah, there's a Karate King, what?
And once we got to some of the other levels, the challenge lessened a decent amount because we were back on the old levels of Mount Mortar, where even though we were in a different area of it, they were still the same type of Pokemon, which means they were weaker and easier to defeat. Yep. And we finally found Kyo, the Karate King, which was his name. Kyo was the black belt's name in the anime as well. The one that ended up getting a Tyrogue.
I don't remember that being his name, but I remember the episode, even though I was half asleep.
Yeah, but that's just cool, because that was his name. Like, they used the name of the character in the game for that character.
Cool.
Because he also had a Hitmonchan and Hitmonlee, just like this guy did in the game.
He had both? I thought he only had one.
Both.
Fancy.
And pretty easy to beat for us. And so then he gave us a Tyrogue.
Well, he said, you don't have enough room in your party, so we had to go all the way back out.
No, that's right.
And all the way back.
We actually didn't go all the way back out. We both escape roped out of there because we found one.
Yeah.
But we did have to go all the way back in and then go out, which was faster because there was shortcuts to get out. So
I still didn't like it. I hate caves so much.
There'll be more in our future.
I can't wait till you can see the Pokemon.
That's going to be a while. That's going to be a long while.
Really? How many generations?
I think that doesn't show up until the Switch.
So just like a few.
Which is Generation 8. So we have to finish Generation 2 and then go through 5 more?
I'm already Gen Z, so I'm almost there.
Oh my gosh. And
Z game. Oh no, they only have X and Y, they don't have Z.
Yeah. Well, Z to A is coming out, but
so I just gotta work in reverse.
Anyway. And even in Sword and Shield, you can't always see the Pokemon.
That's fine.
In Let's Go, I think you can see them all the time. And then, like, Scarlet and Violet, when... I mean, you can't always see them, because sometimes they don't generate the image until they're on top of you. But, you know.
Yeah. Get the point.
Although that's a little bit better now in the Switch 2 update.
Oh.
You can see a lot more Pokemon.
Fancy.
It's pretty cool. Anyway. In Crystal, when I was going through the cave, there was another trainer, and some of the sections were a little bit differently laid out, just like they were before. And this trainer guy that I found was the missing buddy of one of the trainers I found in the last part, because they both talked about how the other one had a Pokemon that they needed for guiding them through the cave or something. I don't remember what it was exactly, but...
So they were both lost endlessly.
Yeah, trying to find each other.
And you didn't help them, right?
Well, no.
Good.
So then after all of that, it was time to take the boat back to Kanto, so we got to fight more new Pokemon there. And we were lucky on that, too, because we wrapped up Mount Mortar on a day that the boat would be going back.
Yay!
Like, we had to play it that night before the time, like, before midnight or whatever, but it worked out perfect. It
wasn't that late, I don't think. I don't know.
No, what we were done for the day, and then I'm like, ooh. But we need to get on the boat before we're actually, like, before you go to sleep.
So did we just get on the boat, or did we actually, like, do the boat? I don't remember.
I actually don't remember either. We might have even done it separately.
No, we did it together.
Did we? Okay. I couldn't remember. Because I always do it separately at least once, because I have to do it in Crystal when I go a second time. But besides fighting some more trainers and stuff, I don't think there was anything too significant on that boat ride back. And then once we were back in Kanto, we traveled back to Saffron, and this time I did not make the decision of where to go. I left it to Ruby.
Who was really confused at first.
Because we could have kept going north, possibly. Like, I don't know if there was any blocks or anything to get to Cerulean. We could have gone east to get to Violet... No, not Violet. Lavender Town, which doesn't have a gym in it. Or we could go west to Celadon City, which is Erica's city and stuff. And what did you choose?
Celadon.
Yes, you chose to take us to Celadon.
How did I know you didn't pull a fast one on me and rename the towns and tell me the wrong directions?
You wanted to go to Erica's city for some reason. You even clarified. You're like, that's the one with Erica, right? And I'm like, yeah. Like the grass gym.
Well, We didn't know how far north we could go. Well, I didn't know that part.
Well, we didn't know if we could go either direction.
I didn't really want to go to the ghost town.
We didn't know if we could go any of the directions.
Oh, well. This one was the best.
So, the short route between Saffron and Celadon had another underground path entrance, but this one, instead of having somebody block it, had a sign there that it was locked, or the door was locked, and it had a sign there from the police that mentioned uncouth trainers battling in the tunnels. And I thought that was hilarious, because I had put something about a jerk-faced kid fighting battles in an underground tunnel in the Murasaki side story that's kind of parallel to Violet's. And you
second,
got...
Second time you've...
Predicted things. Yeah, because your twisted ankle, too.
I've always had bad ankles.
Yeah, but that's not... I didn't even know that. You've claimed that since you've twisted your ankle. I've never heard that before.
The times I've laid on the couch with an ice pack on my foot?
Yeah, well, you hurt yourself. I don't know.
Over and over on the ankles?
I didn't know it was always the ankle. I don't know. You always have problems.
Well, I've said that I have... I know I've said it before then, for sure.
I'm sure you have, but I don't remember it, is all. And so, yeah, I twisted your ankle in the story, and then apparently you twisted your ankle in real life.
It hurt really bad.
I'm a little nervous that my stories are like voodoo dolls or something.
Oh.
Anyway, so we couldn't go through the underground tunnel to get to Violet. No, not Violet. I keep doing that. Lavender Town. But that's okay, because we might have been able to just go that direction anyway. I don't really know. Then in Celadon, the game corner is still thriving. And we saw we could get ourselves a second Eevee there. We haven't done it yet, but we could.
Haven't done it yet because I haven't had enough coins.
Well, that's also because we want to get a Porygon, which is even more expensive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yep, I'm trying to save up for a Porygon.
You better be, because you need one.
No. I need to go catch an extra Pokemon so we can trade.
No.
Yes! Then I can get another Eevee.
You could just breed your Eevees.
The last time I tried to breed, it didn't work. And I think they're still there. Did you get them out?
No, I told you. We've already talked about this. I already took it out.
Oh. I don't even know their status. I checked like a couple times.
Anyway, in Crystal, I did already get the Porygon, as I had enough money, because it was the Eevee price in Crystal, because there is no Eevee option in Crystal, and Tyranitar is the most expensive one.
Tyranitar?
Don't say it like that.
Why?
Anyway.
Larvitar.
That's so dumb. We also checked the posters at the game corner to see if there was anything interesting there, because that's how you would get to Team Rocket's headquarters, but this time there was nothing. No secret Team Rocket base this time. So the champ in the making guy that's always at the gyms was actually at the game corner gambling, which I thought was fun. Oh. And he's gambling so much so that when we went to Erica's gym later, he wasn't there. So, I mean, that is that guy. He's just at the gambling game corner.
I think I was the first one to find him, because I started on that part of town.
Yes, I think so.
Ooh, there was also an eating place that I went in. And everyone was just stuffing themselves full, which is kind of disgusting. And they would all go, nom, 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 and then, like, go away, or we're doing an eating contest, or something like that, and then nom, nom, nom. And there were, like, 8 people there, and I was like, you know, I want to try to join, but they didn't want me to join. No one even offered. And then I thought I was checking a bunch of trash cans, because there were a lot of trash cans, and there's a trash can in there, I thought I checked it, but I did not.
I did, and got some leftovers.
Wait, from the trash?
Yep. Yeah, it sounds gross.
I don't like leftovers how it is.
It's a held item for Pokemon, though. It's supposed to be good. I don't remember what it does.
Poor Pokemon, you're feeding them the leftovers from the trash?
Excuse me?
Are they all raccoons?
We feed our chickens scraps from, like, that were trash and stuff, or mixed into other stuff that nobody would eat, so.
Psh.
The Pokemon are animals.
Well, chickens are herbivores. Is there carnivores? Is that what you call when you eat yourself?
Cannibals. Carnivores eat meat.
Right.
Herbivores eat plants.
Herbivores.
when I was at the, I decided to visit the department store, and I found that we couldn't purchase evolutionary stones there like we could in Red, Blue, and Yellow.
How sad.
Yeah, so they're harder to come by in the game. That being said, I can send Pokemon back to Red or Blue or Yellow and just have them buy the evolutionary stone to evolve a Pokemon, as long as it's not a Johto Pokemon. But, like, if we wanted to evolve an Exeggute, I could just send an Exeggute back to Red or Blue or Yellow and have them go get the Leaf Stone and evolve them.
I thought I checked the trash can.
Well, you must have leftover somewhere. Or you got rid of them. Maybe you threw them away.
I don't get rid of things, remember?
Except for when you have to.
Then I get rid of poison berries.
Yeah, leftovers are right there!
Where did I get these?
From that trash can!
I doubt it.
Okay. Now, something that was interesting about the Pokemon Center in Celadon City is in Crystal, I ran into a friend. Arguably a friend. His name is Eucene! And he even says that he's from Celadon City, so I thought that was interesting.
Oh.
And he wants me to come back and talk to him if I ever get a hold of Raikou and Entei, since I already have Suicune.
I already have Raikou.
I decided to go explore the back entrance of the building where we got Eevee in Red, Blue, and Yellow, while you were exploring the front entrance and talking to the developers of the game again.
Oh, I was?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I was.
And I get all the way up there, and this guy's like he doesn't. There's no Pokeball or anything, so there's no Eevee or whatever to get this time. And he's like, "Oh, I have a story for you, but it's a creepy one. So I only tell you when it's nighttime, and it wasn't nighttime when I was there. So I was gonna have to come back later." And we did. Like we both, after we did like our gyms and stuff, we did go back to go get that story at night, and it was ridiculous. The story was about somebody trying to bike back home after dark, and he felt a force pulling him back and trying to catch him, so like he had to like push harder or whatever, and then he realized, oh, it wasn't. The force that was trying to pull him back was just gravity, because he was biking up Cycling Hill. Which I predicted before he got to his punchline of the story.
I wasn't paying very much attention, so I was like, bike, Bicycle Hill!
But then we got the curse TM for our troubles of listening. There was also that guy that's in front of a house across a pond, and he explains that a bunch of Grimer have been coming into town. And sure enough, if we surf long enough in his little pond, we do not find fresh water Pokemon, but a Grimer.
So yeah, I went and talked to him, and then I went around the water because I was like, oh, he's a Grimer right here. And then Daddy hadn't talked to him, and so I was like, oh, look it, a Grimer. I'm so surprised, and then I started catching it, and he goes, why aren't you surprised? And I was like, oh, because the guy told me there was going to be one here.
Yeah, I was kind of that was kind of weird. I was wondering if pollution was getting bad in Celadon or something. And it's also extra weird because just outside of town, through the cut tree area, we also found Slugma in the grass. Which yeah. Are drawn towards, like, very hot places. So they should be up in our recording studio, and not Celadon.
I'm so hot.
Oh, we're dripping. So yeah, definitely kind of curious of what's going on in Celadon City. We already have power outage problems, and now pollution and heat in Celadon.
Something fishy's happening.
So then it was time to go battle Erica. The creepy guy was... that was always staring through the windows was still outside the gym, but he at least moved away from the windows now. Instead of peeking in, he probably just waited to watch people coming in and out. I don't know. Because he still was excited about the fact that the gym only has girls.
Why? Like, why would you waste your time doing that? Go find yourself a wife. Tell her how pretty she is.
I'm guessing the police might have had a chat with the guy, which is why he stayed away from the windows now.
I just imagine him being like this on the windows, and then like he's told to move back, so he's just like
yeah. And the gym layout was much simpler and pretty easy to get through this time. Like it had more of a wandering path, I felt like, in the first game, unless I'm misremembering. This one was pretty small and basic.
I think they've downsized a lot of the gyms.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, they cut things out. Like, we can't go through the underground tunnels. They blocked those maps off. They don't let us go through the Sylph Company building. There's no Team Rocket headquarters.
Aren't they going to let us back in the underground tunnels at some point?
I bet you they won't. There's no reason. There's no reason for them. The only reason they existed last time was to skip around Saffron City, which was blocked for a time being in the game.
Oh.
So, yeah. They did what they could to save up on memory since they were putting a whole region, extra region in. Erica provided much less trouble for you this time than the first time we were there.
She was always easy.
Yeah, whatever. That was one of our most exciting battles last time.
Your most exciting battles, because you took the thing over.
I was not taking over, but I was helping you. I did not take the controllers or anything.
You did give me advice, and then eventually you took it.
No, I didn't.
Not took it. Like, gave, I guess. But yeah, you had it, and you finished her off for me last time,
no,
I think.
No, I didn't. I just told you what to do.
For a little bit, and then I thought you took it.
No. So we collected our 11th badge and headed out towards Bicycling Hill, or Cycling Hill, or whatever. And the hill was also easier than last time. It only had 4 trainers out there. I had a lot more last time.
And I just went wee all the way down at one point.
And for some reason, one of the trainers was in a different spot in Crystal. Said the same stuff, had the same Pokemon, but he wasn't where we fought him in Gold and Silver.
Oh, that's odd.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. And then after them, there were 2 bird keepers on the next route right before going into Fuchsia City. And that city really felt like it had declined heavily. Like, it was like a ghost town. The Savari Zone office was empty, and the entrance to the zone itself was bricked over, so there was no door. Everyone was telling us that the warden decided to close it all up and go on vacation. And the zoo-like area all around where the entrance to the Safari Zone was, where that had, like, Pokemon on display, like a zoo.
Maybe.
I don't know. It was empty, though. There was no more Pokemon out there. There was a berry tree growing in a corner, though, which I thought was kind of cool, since we didn't have those before. And the warden's granddaughter was living at his house, at the warden's house. Up on the plateau where the Pokemon Center and gym are, we entered the house between the Pokemon Center and gym and met with Bill's sister, apparently. Apparently he has a sister who lives in Fuchsia City.
Yeah.
So I thought that was interesting. And we recovered at the center where we met a girl who practiced disguising herself as gym leader Janine right in front of us.
She did?
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot.
Yeah, she's like, look it. And she twirls around and looks like Janine for a second.
Was there another girl upstairs who looked like us?
No. The girl who turns around and looks like us is in Saffron City. We already talked about her. She's She was in Red and Blue and Yellow as well. And this was a Janine impersonator. Because that's what they do. Because then when we go to the gym, which is being run by Koga's daughter Janine, the invisible wall is still up. But now, all the trainers turn in circles instead of being still. So that means even the gym leader is turning in circles, because everybody was. And none of them attack when locking eyes with us.
Gotta go talk to them.
And they all look like Janine. And this made me nervous, because I wasn't sure if you could battle trainers at a gym after defeating the gym leader. And you discovered that was true, because you took a different path than I did.
Most likely, because I might have fought that trainer.
So I'm pretty sure it is the case, because I listened to another podcast, and they were describing their adventures through this gym, and they did the exact same thing you did, and they didn't catch on that they could have fought that trainer. They just figured it was somebody you could talk to.
Well, they're stupid.
Well, that's rude.
Okay, they're not stupid. They just didn't think that one through.
Yeah, because I kind of figured who probably was the real Janine.
I thought maybe, but I was like, let's see. And I thought it'd be fine.
Yeah. But I saved her for last, so I got every fight. You got almost every fight. And honestly, she felt like she was probably easier than Erica, for me at least.
I don't remember. She was probably really easy. Most of them are.
Yeah. And so then we had our 12th gym badge. After that, when it got dark out, we went and hunted through the grass between Celadon and Saffron again and found ourselves a Houndour and a Murkrow. Finally, some dark Pokemon out in the wild. Yay. What's weird about this to me is that these are two second-gen Pokemon, so quote-unquote Johto Pokemon. But where do you find them? At night in Kanto. Did we find them anywhere in Johto? No.
Interesting.
Yep. Oh, and I did do a lot of work on trying to evolve my Tyrogue during this part of it. And I bought a bunch of items to keep his stats even, because I knew that's how you get a Hitmontop. And somehow, I don't understand what I must have done wrong or whatever, but somehow, he turned into a Hitmonchan instead of a Hitmontop. And I'm very annoyed about that.
Yeah. And I think I saw it as it was evolving, but you're like, I did it, I did it. I'm like, that don't look like a Tyrogue. Or
well, it shouldn't look like a Tyrogue.
Doesn't look like a Hitmontop. And then it turned out to be a Hitmonchan.
Yep. So that's where we're at. So the next part of our journey, we might visit Johto again and maybe do the ruins and figure that stuff out. But then we will also probably try to take on two more gyms in Kanto.
Cool. Should be fun.
Yeah. So now let's dive into our long list of Pokedex entries.
Who's that Pokemon?
Togetic. Happiness. Number 176. It grows dispirited if it is not with kind people. It can float in midair without moving its wings.
They say that it will appear before kind-hearted, caring people and shower them with happiness.
Although it does not flap its wings very much, it can stay up in the air as it tags along after its trainer.
Slow there, bro.
Slow, bro.
Bro, what does mine say?
Slow. What about mine?
Bro.
We're just making up our own jokes at this point. Carry on.
It's from Dude Where's My Car, sort of.
Okay. Okay. Slowbro. Slowbro. Hermit crab, number 80. If the tail-biting Shellder is thrown off in a harsh battle, it reverts to being an ordinary Slowpoke. Oh, it can de-evolve.
Weird. An attached Shellder won't let go because of the tasty flavor that oozes out of its tail.
Naturally dull to begin with, it lost its ability to feel pain due to Shellder's sleeping poison, or Shellder's seeping poison.
No, they think it lost its ability, but really they're just not around by the time they think it should feel pain because it takes a hot second to react.
What is going on here? Why do they have a Shellder on their tail? What? This is a thing?
Yeah, that's how it evolves, supposedly.
It gets a Shellder stuck on its tail?
Yeah, and then both of them transform because it doesn't even look like a Shellder anymore.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Serenity is not impressed.
Sounds disgusting.
Well, that's another thing we learned.
Two shall become one.
In Gold, Silver, and Crystal, we learned that Slowpoke tails taste good. Like, they're a delicacy.
Because of what's oozing out of them?
Yeah, it's like sweet, like honey or something.
So their pee tastes like honey?
Well, pee doesn't come out of a tail. We need to study our body a little bit more.
I know, but it's close enough that it probably like drips down. Wait, we're studying the body, but this is Pokemon. Do you really, really think this is the same?
I don't know if you do.
And don't some animals like pee out of their mouth?
Yeah, I think that's a thing. So maybe I don't think mammals, though. Is Slowpoke a mammal? Slowbro?
It's good a question.
It's a hermit crab, so probably not a mammal. So it could pee out of its tail, I guess. All right.
Anyways.
Some of the stuff that we enjoy that tastes sweet comes from weird places that sound disgusting, so.
I feel nauseous enough.
I mean, even honey itself.
I know. I
just... What about honey?
It's bee vomit.
Kinda.
Aged bee vomit that's stirred.
That's stirred. That makes it all better.
Stirred with their tongues.
Gotcha.
Okay. Oh my gosh. We're derailing quick this week.
Oh, my stars. Okay. Vile plume, flower, number 45. By shaking its big petals, it scatters toxic pollen into the air, turning the air yellow.
The bud bursts into bloom with a bang. It then starts scattering allergenic, poisonous pollen.
It has the world's largest petals. With every step, the petals shake out heavy clouds of toxic pollen.
Want to live there, babe?
Nope. That sounds terrible. Alakazam, sigh, number 65. Its brain cells multiply continually until it dies. As a result, it remembers everything.
Closing both its eyes heightens all its other senses. This enables it to use its abilities to their extremes.
It has an IQ of 5,000. It calculates many things in order to gain the edge in every battle.
Executor, coconut. I like coconuts. Number 103. Its three heads think independently. However, they are friendly and never appear to squabble.
Living in a good environment makes it grow lots of heads. A head that drops off becomes an execute.
If a head drops off, it emits a telepathic call in search of others to form an execute cluster.
Grimer, sludge, number 88. When two of these Pokemon's bodies are combined together, new poisons are created.
Wherever Grimer has passed, so many germs are left behind that no plants will ever grow again.
Your picture for Grimer's like, I'm gonna get ya. Mine's like, Mommy.
I see it.
He looks so sad.
And then his is like, ow!
Yours looks like it has a mustache. What's going on with their face over there?
It's just the ripple.
It's just like, yeah. Oh.
He is the same.
For a flame, he'd call it a mustache.
True enough. He was so sure he was growing one the other day.
Oh, was he?
He was disappointed to find that it really wasn't.
I grow a better mustache still.
As it moves, it loses bits of its body from which new Grimer emerge. This worsens the stench around it.
Ninetales, fox, number 38. Its nine beautiful tails are filled with a wondrous energy that could keep it alive for 1,000 years.
Some legends claim that each of its nine tails has its own unique type of special mystical power.
It is said to live 1,000 years, and each of its tails is loaded with supernatural powers.
Arcanine, legendary, number 59. This legendary Chinese Pokemon is considered magnificent. Many people are enchanted by its grand mane.
An ancient picture scroll shows that people were attracted to its movement as it ran through prairies.
Its magnificent bark conveys a sense of majesty. Anyone hearing it can't help but grovel before it.
Golduck, duck, number 55. It swims gracefully along on the quiet, slow-moving rivers and lakes of which it is so fond.
It appears by waterways at dusk. It may use telekinetic powers if its forehead glows mysteriously.
When it swims at full speed using its long, webbed limbs, its forehead somehow begins to glow.
Tyrogue, scuffle, number 236. Even though it is small, it can't be ignored because it will slug any handy target without warning.
It is always bursting with energy. To make itself stronger, it keeps on fighting even if it loses.
To brush up on its fighting skills, it will challenge anyone. It has a very strong competitive spirit.
Starmie, mysterious, number 121. The center section of its body is called the core. It glows in a different color each time it is seen.
It is said that it uses the seven-colored core of its body to send electric waves into outer space.
Regardless of the environment it lives in, its body grows to form a symmetrical, geometric shape.
Cloyster, bivalve, number 91. Even a missile can't break the spikes it uses to stab opponents. They're even harder than its shell.
Cloyster that live in seas with harsh tidal currents grow large, sharp spikes on their shells.
Once it slams its shell shut, it is impossible to open even by those with superior strength.
Murkrow, darkness, number 198. It is said that when chased, it lures its attacker onto dark mountain trails where the foe will get lost.
Feared and loathed by many, it is believed to bring misfortune to all those who see it at night.
It hides any shiny object it finds in a secret location. Murkrow and Meowth loot one another's stashes.
That's funny.
Houndour, dark, number 228. It uses different kinds of cries for communicating with others of its kind and for pursuing its prey.
Around dawn, its ominous howl echoes through the area to announce that this is its territory.
To corner prey, they check each other's location using barks that only they can understand.
Slugma, lava, number 218. These group together in areas that are hotter than normal. If it cools off, its skin hardens.
If they gather where it's hotter than normal, is there something heating up Celadon City? Because that's where we found them. Along with a Grimer.
Maybe it's on a fault line.
Hmm.
Well, there's something suspicious going on in Kanto.
Yeah. A common sight in volcanic areas. It slowly slithers around in a constant search for warm places. It should just hang out in our recording studio.
Apparently, I'm dying.
Feels nice in here.
It's because you're sick.
I'm not pregnant.
I still need a blanket, though. It never sleeps. It has to keep moving because if it stopped, its magma body would cool and harden.
Hmm.
Like those freeze your fat billboards we've seen.
What?
You know, it was like back in 2016 when we were going up to Eau Claire all the time, and there were the billboards all over that were like, freeze your fat, and it was like a thing. I was like,
interesting.
I want it frozen. I want it gone. What?
Keep it forever.
I think it was like body sculpting or something. I don't know. Just saying, Kanto might have a business there.
There you go. Omastar, spiral, number 139. Once wrapped around its prey, it never lets go. It eats the prey by tearing at it with sharp fangs.
Apparently, it cracked Shelder's shell with its sharp fangs and sucked out the insides.
Its heavy shell allowed it to reach only nearby food. This could be the reason it is extinct.
Kabutops, shellfish, number 141. In the water, it tucks in its limbs to become more compact, then it wiggles its shell to swim fast.
It was able to swim quickly through the water by compactly folding its razor-sharp sickles.
With sharp claws, this ferocious ancient Pokemon rips apart prey and sucks their body fluids.
Aerodactyl, fossil, number 142. In prehistoric times, this Pokemon flew freely and fearlessly through the skies.
This vicious Pokemon is said to have flown in ancient skies while shrieking high-pitched cries.
A vicious Pokemon from distant past appears to have flown by spreading its wings and gliding.
Articuno, Freeze, number 144. One of the legendary bird Pokemon, it chills moisture in the atmosphere to create snow while flying.
The magnificent, seemingly translucent wings of this legendary bird Pokemon are said to be made of ice.
Legendary bird Pokemon. As it flies through the sky, it cools the air, causing snow to fall.
Zapdos, electric, number 145.
I like your picture for this one.
This legendary bird Pokemon causes savage thunderstorms by flapping its glittering wings.
Legendary bird Pokemon. They say lightning caused by the flapping of its wings causes summer storms.
This legendary bird Pokemon is said to appear only when a thundercloud parts into two halves.
Moltres, flame, number 146. Legendary bird Pokemon. It is said to migrate from the south along with the spring.
This legendary bird Pokemon is said to bring early spring to the wintry lands it visits.
This legendary Pokemon scatters embers with every flap of its wings. It is a thrilling sight to behold.
And I just realized that if you click on the area for the Suicune stuff, Suicune and Entei stuff, it shows you where they are. We can track them already.
Wait, I wonder what Raikou says then for me.
Probably nothing since you already have them. Or maybe it just shows where you caught them. Nope, just nothing. So that's exciting. So we'll have to look into that.
What do these ones say?
Nothing. Because I just traded them. Because they're not in the games.
Well, that's exciting.
All right. Well, that's our Pokedex entries. Thanks. But now, with the game covered, I think what's left for us is Pokemon cards. All right, so I did pick myself up an Elite Trainer box for Destined Rivals, which Ruby's kind of excited-ish, but it's my card, so she can only be so excited. But it comes with the fancy art for Team Rocket's Wobbuffet.
You have to give it to me!
And then the package I'm opening has Gold or Ethan or whatever his name is. Jimmy, I think, from the movie, the Raikou movie. Commanding a Ho-Oh.
And I've got Mewtwo and Giovanni. Picked especially because I can say both their names. My first one is Diplin, evolves from Applin, grass type, like it should be. Diplin... Diplin is two creatures in one Pokemon. Its evolution was triggered by a special apple grown only in one place. Then Electrike, electric type. It stores electricity in its fur. It gives off sparks from all over its body in seasons when the air is dry. Talo, colorless. It dislikes cold seasons. They migrate to other lands in search of warmth, flying over 180 miles a day. His name is Ethan on your package.
I told you. I said Ethan.
You said a bunch of names.
Yeah, because he's gotten by a bunch of names depending on what you're reading or looking at.
Ethan Slugma, fire type. Its lava body can cool and chip away at times, but magma bath will heal it right up. Pokemon Tool, Cynthia's Power Weight Trainer. The Cynthia's Pokemon this card is attached to gets plus 70 HP. Stage 1. Team Rocket's Golbat evolves from Team Rocket's Zubat. Dark. Ability, Sneaky Bite. When you play this Pokemon from your hand to evolve one of your Pokemon during your turn, you may put two damage counters on one of your opponent's Pokemon. Its feet are tiny, but this Pokemon walks skillfully. It sneaks up on sleeping prey before sinking its fangs and slurping up blood. Mudsdale evolves from Mudbray. Fighting. Ability, Mudcoat. This Pokemon takes 30 less damage from attacks after applying weakness and resistance. This Pokemon has been treasured not just for its physical labor, but also because it produces high-quality mud used for making pottery. Reverse Holo, Crustle, evolves from Dwebble. Grass. Ability, Mysterious Rockin.
You have all these abilities.
I do have a lot of abilities. It's amazing.
Apparently.
Prevent all damage done to this Pokemon by attacks from your opponent's Pokemon EX. Its thick claws are its greatest weapon. They are mighty enough to crack Rhyperior's carapace. It's also a rare.
Ooh.
Another reverse holo. Special energy. Team Rocket's energy. This card can only be attached to a Team Rocket's Pokemon. If this card is attached to anything other than a Team Rocket's Pokemon, discard this card. As long as this card is attached to a Pokemon, it provides 2 in any combination of psychic energy and dark energy.
Oh, interesting.
Ooh. Secret rare. 2-star. Extended or full art. Colorless. Team Rocket's Persian. EX.
And has Giovanni in the background.
Falls from Team Rocket's mouth. Yeah, it's got like Giovanni and then the Meowth there.
The Persian. Persian.
That's like cool.
It's super cool.
You want to trade it for your really fancy Meowth in there?
You mean Wobbuffet?
Yeah, this one, sorry. Then a fighting type energy.
I have Tauros, colorless. When it targets an enemy, it charges furiously while whipping its body with its long tails. I have Marnie's Morpeko, dark type. Morpeko eats seeds constantly to keep its hunger at bay. If it's hungry for too long, it grows wild and brutish. Oh, this is fitting. Sort of. Team Rocket's Larvitar. Fighting type. Born deep underground, this Pokemon becomes a pupa after eating enough dirt to make a mountain.
Dirt?
I guess. Enough to make a mountain. Team Rocket's Blipbug. Grass type. Often found in gardens, this Pokemon has hairs on its body that it uses to assess its surroundings. And it's stealing a bunch of Pokeballs, it looks like. Team Rocket's Mimikyu, psychic type. This Pokemon lives in dark places untouched by sunlight. When it appears before humans, it hides itself under a cloth that resembles a Pikachu. Marnie's Morgrim evolves from Marnie's Impidimp, dark type. Morgrim prefers dirty tactics like ambushing because it doesn't have confidence in its brawn. Supporter trainer card. Team Rocket's Archer. You can use this card only if any of your Team Rocket's Pokemon were knocked out during your opponent's last turn. Each player shuffles their hand into their deck, then you draw 5 cards, and your opponent draws 3. Oh, this is also perfect with my first reverse holo. It is Blaziken! Ooh. Fire type, evolves from Combusken. When facing a tough foe, it looses flames from its wrists. Its powerful legs let it jump clear over buildings. My other reverse holo, and that Blaziken was a rare too. My other reverse holo is Team Rocket's Mareep, lightning type. If static electricity builds in its body, its fleece doubles in volume. Touching it will shock you. Oh, and my rare card is a psychic type, Team Rocket's Wobbuffet. Just the normal card. Hey, stop trying to steal my card.
But I want it. I need it.
To keep its pitch black tail hidden, it lives quietly in the darkness. It is never first to attack. And I got a basic lightning energy.
Fine then. Both the Wobbuffets.
All right. And that wraps up the Pokemon cards and our show. Routes Through Pokemon is a Hunterfield Institute production. You can find us on Spotify, Amazon, Apple, and other podcasting platforms. You can also find us on YouTube at the Hunterfield Institute channel. Just look for the Routes Through Pokemon playlist. If you want to see pictures from some of our favorite cards or see other posts like our Who's That Pokemon segments twice a week and keep up to date on what we're doing with episodes and when we're watching some of the movies, you can check out our Facebook page, Routes Through Pokemon. Or you can find me, Shea Locke, at Kinetic_card on Instagram or at Hunterfield Inns on X. And you can also reach out to us, to either of us. You can also reach out to either of us if you want to leave us some encouragement or comments or have questions or corrections or tell us how silly we are or which one of us is your favorite. Whatever. Whatever you want to say. You want to make fun of us? Go for it. But you can do that by reaching out at our email, which is hunterfieldmanor@gmail.com. HunterfieldManor@gmail.com. Next week, we will be diving back into the anime. Ruby and I will be covering a chunk of episodes as we follow Ash, Misty, and Brock's journey to try and get Larvitar to Mount Silver. And then the week following that, we should be back to the games. But until then, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch you on the next route. Bye-bye! Sayonara! Part 50. Fan Club Friends. Violent wasn't sure how much time had passed while she mingled with the members of the Pokemon Fan Club. The tea was good, and so were the snacks. Henry was very helpful in navigating those gathered and who to talk to. There was a woman named Shelley who was very interested in having a Meowth, and upon learning that Violet had one, offered a trade. Since her Meowth was a relatively new and accidental member of her collection, she had not grown particularly attached to the Pokemon, so it was agreed that they would head to the Pokemon Center to trade her Meowth for the other lady's Mankey once the gathering dispersed. In the meantime, Violet found herself in the company of the chairman once again, and he really wanted to talk about his Rapidash. Violet had some interest when she had asked about the picture on the wall, but as the chairman went on, the poor girl had regretted her curiosity. Still, Violet didn't want to be rude, and the prolonged company with the chairman received more than a few annoyed glances from Samantha. As petty as it was, Violet enjoyed that point. Once the chairman finished, he thanked Violet for listening to his gushing over Rapidash, and for her time, he offered her a voucher. "That will get you a bike from the shop in Cerulean City. I'd recommend it. They are great for getting around. It will really speed up your trip to the other gyms as you work on collecting your league badges."
"Oh, wow. Thanks."
Violet had not expected to gain anything from being dragged to the club meeting, so getting something of significant value was quite a surprise. By then, many of the club members had left. There were still a few, which included Samantha and Henry. Shelley, the woman that wanted to trade with Violet, was waiting near the door, and so Violet made her way there.
"Ready?"
"Yeah, let's go."
Henry shouted out a farewell, and Violet waved as she left the building. Outside, her and Shelley started to make their way through Vermilion's streets toward the Pokemon Center. Along the way, the woman started talking excitedly about her adoration for Meowth.
"Meowth are just so cute. Persian are nice, too. And I think most people like them more. Which is why it's hard to find someone who has a Meowth to trade, because they've already evolved them into Persian. But how can you resist that golden charm and those huge eyes? And their fur is just so..."
Violet barely registered what Shelley was saying, as it was too fast and too much after listening to the chairman speak about his passion for Rapidash. So the girl just smiled and nodded as the woman rattled on. Something caught the corner of Violet's eye, or so she thought, and she stopped for a moment. She took a few steps toward a small, shaded alley, where she thought she had seen something move. Shelley was still going on and hadn't noticed that she was leaving Violet behind.
"The coloring of their little brown paws? And then people claim they've seen some with a different shade to their fur, and their ears are a different color, too. Which I don't know if I believe, but if they... Violet?"
When Shelley caught on that she was no longer in the girl's company, she turned to find Violet walking toward a dark alley.
"That's not a shortcut, Violet, unless you can walk on water."
Violet stopped and looked back toward Shelley.
"What? Oh, no, I just thought I saw something."
She trailed off as she looked back toward the alley. However, there wasn't anything there as far as she could tell.
"But I guess not."
Jogging over to catch up with Shelley, Violet apologized.
"Sorry about that. It was just... You ever feel like you're being watched?"
Shelley shrugged.
I guess so. People are always watching other people, though, so I don't really think anything of it."
"You would if you were constantly being hunted by Team Rocket."
Violet mumbled to herself.
"What about Pockets?"
"Pockets? Nothing. Never mind."
It seemed Violet's behavior must have made Shelley a little less comfortable, as the rest of the trip to the Pokemon Center was mostly silent.
"I need to turn my Pokemon into the nurse first,"
Violet told Shelley.
"Meowth battled some Pikachu at the gym today."
"Sure, I'll head upstairs and get things started."
"Sounds good. I'll be right there."
As Shelley left up the steps to the second floor, Violet walked over to the counter and turned in her Pokemon. Then, looking for an open seat, she thought she spotted someone familiar.
Shiro?
The man she had seen was well-dressed and sitting on one of the available seats in the waiting area. He was studying the page of an open book, but, when he heard his name, he looked up. Spotting Violet, his eyes opened wider in surprise. Registering who had appeared, he stood up, closed his book, and stepped over as Violet also came closer. Well, you have made it to Vermilion City, I see. Violet felt a cheerful giddiness surge through her, and she found herself smiling at seeing a kind and familiar face.
Yep, I'm here.
Challenged Lieutenant Surge yet?
Not quite. I battled some of the trainers.
Ah, the barrier. Yes, that is a bit of a challenge to get through, Shiro said thoughtfully. And the Cascade Badge? I assume you've earned that already? Violet looked down, her cheeks flushed with embarrassment.
No. I didn't get the chance.
Shiro furrowed his brow. Didn't get the chance?
Yeah. Well, there was a thing at Nugget Bridge, and then I was attacked by Team Rocket again.
Team Rocket? Shiro asked. I think I've heard of... Wait, attacked you? Again?
Oh, yeah, they keep coming after me. Remember that guy trying to sell me Pokemon by Mount Moon? Turned out he was a member, and...
Trainer Violet, your Pokemon are ready.
Sorry.
Violet headed back toward the counter to collect her Pokemon.
I need to get upstairs. Someone is waiting for me to trade her a Meowth.
Oh, no need to apologize. Perhaps we can catch up more when you come back down.
That sounds great. Thank you.
With that, Violet rushed upstairs with her newly recovered Pokemon. Finding Shelly, they found an attendant to help them with the transfer process and fetch their Pokeballs. Shelly placed her red and white Pokeball on her part of the device, while Violet placed her blue and white one on the other side.
Are you both sure you want to trade these Pokemon?
The device displayed the information of both the Mankey and the Meowth, such as their physical conditions, the names of the trainers they belong to, their typical behavior, and other useful tidbits. Violet nodded.
I'm sure.
Looking curiously up at the Meowth stats, Shelly gave an absent...
Sure.
...as a response.
Very well, the transfer will begin now.
With those words, the attendant flipped a switch, and the machine hummed to life as it began the process of transferring ownership of the two Pokemon. But all too quickly it died down. An alert was displayed, and it read, Invalid trade. Owner not verified. To be continued.